It's been great. I've been able to go to see a lot of the facilities, the new facilities, also the old ones. We got the tour of the police station, which is in desperate need of help, to say the least.
Is there any money out there, federal money, do you think, that could help with something like that?
Well, we're not sure. It's something we're going to check on. I know out here, for example, we were able to get some money for the dredging that's going on out here, which will make
for North Harbor,
right? Yeah. North Harbor, about $3.4 million. That will help the project here. We were talking to the folks who were raising money for the library. We had about $200,000 that USDA was able to put in that. We did a letter to the USDA talking about that project, and they were successful in receiving about a $200,000 grant, which we think is, again, very exciting to see that new facility. But we're going to check because it makes sense. It's a public facility, and we need to see what we can do to help. But it's impressive to see the community and the investments they are making, you know, in some of the infrastructure. We walked through the new fire station. Unbelievable. I think a perfect facility for the community, and a lot of good equipment in there. And so, again, getting a chance to get a sense of what's here, what's been improved, what some of the gaps are. We still have some more meetings through the day here, and tomorrow we'll meet with some fishermen and hear several things, I'm sure.
I think one of the things you're going to hear from fishermen is concerns over the sea otter population in Southeast Alaska, the growing sea otter population. Is that an issue that you've heard a bit about, and do you see opportunities where Congress or the federal government can do more to, whether it's encouraging native hunting harvesting or other ways of dealing with the issue?
We've actually talked about this with the federal government folks in regards to how to manage those the issue, and I, you know, it's hard to explain that actually harvesting them is not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing. It helps create some balance back into the oceans. But also, if we work with our native communities, I think there's a great way to take then those pelts and utilize them in a commercial way that benefits the native community. So we have recommended some ideas, and we're definitely following this because we know what it's doing to the harvest, especially the shellfish. So we know. We have to manage that down from the level it's at today. But when you try to explain this to folks in Washington, D.C., they don't get it. They think, well, we should preserve every type of animal that's in the water. And you try to explain, well, this actually is in balance right now. And the only way you rebalance it is there has to be some harvesting. And that is hard for folks back east to understand that.
Secure rural schools, looking at the one-year extension at this point,
yeah.
Do you expect that to go through soon, or what about the long-term, I guess?
Yeah, it's attached to the transportation bill, so if the transportation bill passes out at the end of June, this will be part of it. The challenge is, it passed by a pretty large margin, that amendment. The challenge is, it is a rider on the transportation bill. Sometimes they take those riders out after they do the compromise, but we feel like there's a lot of support, so we're feeling pretty good that it could stay in there. Then we have a longer-term plan that's been agreed upon, which extends it out 5 years with a 5% reduction over 5 years and then stops after 25% reduction.
That's a Treasury-funded program, right?
Correct.
It wouldn't be resource-based.
Correct, because it's changed, right. And that is a compromise from where some people wanted it, which was to eliminate the whole program. And so we feel that the states that were most affected by this came up with a solution. But right now, this next year will be fully funded if the rider passes, and then we'll continue to work on that compromise. A lot of good support around it. People understand the value of it, especially for small communities as we're in here today. But I think there's a high interest on it.
Yeah, Sea Alaska Lands Bill,
yes.
That was supposed to be marked up sometime soon. Obviously, for people on all sides of that issue, or what's the status right now and what's next with it?
Well, you know, there's a couple things. There's a Sea Alaska Lands Bill, then there's also the mental health lands issues, too, that's moving around. But the Sea Alaska one, they were just, matter of fact, in my office in D.C. this last week. They have just had another meeting with the folks at, with the administration. I don't think they got to a final decision at this point of the compromise. The issues are sacred sites and future sites, they call them. Future for economic development, sacred sites, which are traditional sites. It looks like on the bulk of the lands, there's pretty much agreement on where those would be. There's some pieces that still need to be worked out. But right now in Congress, the challenge is it's in the big picture of the issues we're dealing with, you know, the budget, the deficit, the defense funding issues that we were working on this last week, the tax reform. It's a small issue in this big picture, trying to get other members to see this as an important issue. So what we're trying to do is craft a larger lands bill that touches lots of different states and having this a piece of the equation. The challenge is the bill, which is primary sponsor on it, Senator Murkowski, is working this and trying to figure out where the compromise is. The problem is you do have two ends of this that some people don't want anything done, and some people want to even go further. So it's been very difficult to get to a compromise on this at this point.